We begin our hour today talking with Bernie Dwyer. She is a filmmaker and a journalist in Cuba. She made this film, The Day Diplomacy Died, that, by the way, as you hear our conversation, reminding you that tomorrow, April 7th, it will be showing, Bernie will be here, at 6:30 p.m. at the Baltimore Hostel at 17 West Mulberry Street, right on the corner from the library. And she will show her film and speak about her life in Cuba. And Bernie Dwyer, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
410-319-8888 is our number here to join the conversation as you hear it unfold. 410-319-8888. Bernie, first of all, I guess a good place to begin before we talk about the film directly is you.
Okay. You forgot to mention I was an Irish woman.
We can hear that, though.
I don't even have to tell you that. Okay.
tell us why you are in Cuba, when you went there, and what brought you to that place to stay and live and work.
Well, I went to Cuba for the first time in 1988. And I went as a worker, voluntary worker, on the International Jose Marti Brigade. That was a month brigade where we worked, did some manual work, and we also attended a lot of different meetings, and we also went to visit hospitals, and we generally had a look at what's going on in Cuba and Cuba's socialist project. There were over 400 of us from 12 different European countries. So it was quite an amazing experience. When I came back to Ireland, I decided that I was going to get involved with the Cuba Solidarity Movement campaign there in Dublin. There had been one, but it had gone very quiet. So myself and a friend, we got it going again. And from then on in, I've been over to Cuba. I went to Cuba in the early 90s for Solidarity Conference, European Solidarity Conference, and a World Solidarity Conference. I went with the U.S. Pastors for Peace on a peace caravan from the United States into Cuba. Also arranged a lot of cultural exchanges and community exchanges between Ireland and Cuba. Particularly in the historical and cultural links between Ireland and Cuba. And then at a certain stage, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that I also raised 4 children while I was doing
in
this.
In Cuba?
Yeah, no. I'm still in Ireland now at this stage, Mark.
Okay,
all right. Still in Ireland. In 1999, I went to Cuba to learn Spanish at the university. Now, at this stage, my children were adults. So I felt I'd like to stay a bit longer, and one needs a special visa to stay longer. You know, it's like coming here, you get your 3 months, but if you want to stay longer, you need to get permission to do that. So I was very lucky in as much as there was a job going at Radio Havana Cuba in the English department. So they gave me a test for that, and they said, okay, so I came back to Ireland and waited until I got my work visa and came back in 2000. And I've been working there as a radio journalist ever since.
The idea of supporting the Cuban Revolution is an anathema to many and not to all. And I'm curious what it was, both politically, passionately, that made you want to devote your life there.
Well, first of all, in Ireland, we're not victims of the misinformation and disinformation that I think happens here.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Marcus. That's why you're doing this program. But anyway, because to provide some form of balance. So therefore, I grew up admiring the Cuban Revolution. Don't forget that the Irish themselves have their colonial neighbor and have only just in fairly recently become independent of that particular colonial neighbor, which is called Great Britain, and who still occupy our country and who still have a sort of a feeling they can interfere in our affairs. And so in Ireland, we would actually be able to relate to what Cuba was struggling for. which was their own sovereignty without the interference of any other foreign nation, particularly one that's economically and militarily like a million times bigger than they are. Bit of exaggeration. But we're talking about a small nation that's only 11.5 million people. So, as I say, that would be my initial. I wouldn't have had the kind of poisoning that other countries would have about Cuba. I wouldn't be afraid, for instance, of socialism, and I wouldn't be afraid of communism, and I certainly wouldn't hold any kind of contra opinion about another small country wanting to develop their own form of government and their own form of project, of society.
Now, the film you made, The Day Diplomacy Died, they'll be showing in Baltimore tomorrow night, and you're traveling in the United States showing the film. Talk a bit about that. I mean, it this is because in America, those of us who follow that news look at the story you're talking about and talk, and it is described in the American press as the Cuban Black Spring of March 2003, when 75 dissidents were arrested in Cuba. But you made a film from a different perspective on this. Talk a bit about what drove you to this film and what you're saying here.
Okay, well, first of all, it's kind of sometimes a little bit funny for me to hear you saying here in America, because, you know, we're all part of the Americas. And South America, North America, I think, you know, that we need to maybe define that a little bit. I mean, I'm trying not to be pedantic on that one.
Well, I know people in Latin America and Cuba,
yeah,
whenever you say that, say, no, you're a Norte Americano.
Yeah, we're exactly.
Right.
We're all part of, not me, I'm Irish, but I mean the people who are in South America.
Then let me just say the United
America.
States. The American, the press in the United States of America.
Yeah, okay. As I say, like, we won't be pedantic, but we just get it out of the way.
All right.
I was working in Radio Havana, Cuba at that time, and I remember in 2003 coming into work that day and hearing, obviously, about this kind of arrest of 75, and we saw the headlines, and the headlines were Fidel Castro's crackdown, and we all went, oh, what's happened, right? Because the way it was being put across, because Cuba is a very interesting place to work in and to live in, because Cuba doesn't make, they don't speculate on headlines. They don't justify what people are saying. They eventually publish, in their time, a very calm, analytical answer to whatever. So we realized, of course, that there was far more to it than that, that these so-called independent journalists and trade unionists and librarians were in fact working hand in glove with the diplomatic staff, the U.S. diplomatic staff of the equivalent of the U.S. embassy in Havana. Now, Cuba and the U.S. don't have full diplomatic relations. The United States broke diplomatic relations with Cuba in 1961. And then in 1977, Jimmy Carter, ex-president Jimmy Carter, he felt, well, there are a lot of things we need to talk about. So he opened up what's called now the U.S. interest section. After a lot of negotiation, and then Cuba has the Cuban interest section in Washington. The problem is that the U.S. interest section began to really interfere in the internal affairs of Cuba. Now, I think what's very interesting to note here is that there are dissidents in Cuba.
Yes.
And those dissidents go about their work, and they do, you know what I mean? And they, nobody locks them up. But what happened with these ones, we're talking about the 75, what happened with them was, they allowed themselves, and they were also seduced, into working with the diplomatic staff. They were supported by them. They were given computers by them. They were being paid by them. What they were writing was being published in counter-revolutionary magazines in Miami. they were writing stuff to be broadcast from counter-revolutionary radio programs in Miami. And this was going on for a long, long time. And Cuba decided they had to stop it. I mean, they just decided they had to stop it. So they arrested them. They went on trial. Now, the evidence against them was given by Cuban undercover agents who infiltrated the groups and worked alongside them for, like, we're talking about sometimes 12 years, 10 years, 4 years. We're not talking about something that happened in a few weeks.
Right.
And they gave the evidence, and not only did they give verbal evidence, but they had photographs, and they had receipts for monies received. They had receipts for, and they also had, what you call those things, before emails that went, memos. Yeah, encouraging these people to write counter-revolutionary material. So this is what I show in this documentary. And the point is that diplomatic staff in whatever country under the Geneva Convention are not, it's illegal for them to support in any way any dissident movement within a country. It's totally illegal. I mean, you would know that yourself, and so would your listeners. That if anybody was in this country was trying to overturn the U.S. government and was trying to get people to write counter Obama articles and so on, I'm foreigners. I'm talking about diplomatic staff. There would be problems with that as well. So this is what the documentary shows. Because unfortunately, there are 22 foreign news agencies. In Cuba. They're all there in Havana, CNN and NBC and ABC and BBC and The Guardian newspaper and Reuters and the Associated Press. They're all there. People don't realize that they're there reporting and writing. And the problem is that the same ones that jumped on the arrests and talked about the Black Spring, unfortunately didn't then try to interview the Cuban undercover state agents and say, well, look, tell us the story. What's the other side of this story? This is, and this is what the documentary, in its humble fashion, tries to show. Yeah. And the thing Mark, is that my feeling as a journalist is, if we're journalists, we need to at least let people know that there is another side. I mean, I know there's more than one side, but there is a balance here. And now, okay, this is what actually happened as well. So then you make up your own mind. Not just give all the disinformation and all the one side of that and not the other.
So, but you chose them from also, you didn't interview any of the so-called dissidents.
No, I choose not to. I mean, I made a conscious choice not to, because what happened was that the whole international press and every other press jumped on them and gave them a voice and their relatives and they were quoted and the others weren't. So I said, okay, they need a voice as well, and this is their voice. And it's not just my voice. It's hardly my voice. It's their voice.
Your voice wasn't in it. This will be tomorrow night, and it's a very short film. It's only 33 minutes long.
Only 33 minutes. Yeah. So you can imagine what it took to pack everything into 33 minutes. But this is why a question and answer is good. Do you know what I mean? That I'm there, and people can ask questions and whatever questions they really want to ask.
And still plenty of time left afterwards for dinner.
Well, of course, and wine and fun. Well, if you live in Cuba, you certainly learn how to relax and have fun.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I've been there twice.
Oh, good. Okay.
1967, 68, and again in 1998.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. Yeah, gosh. Someday I'll interview you about for Radio Havana, Cuba.
Maybe we'll stop by tomorrow night with any luck. We'll be around the corner doing the thing at the library. So okay. maybe we'll stop by and say hello.
Terrific. Yeah. Yes, please do, Mark, and bring your gang with you.
I will bring my gang.
Yes.
My wife at least, but maybe the gang as well.
Yeah. All right. So, You don't have any Havana Club, no. No, because unfortunately, with the blockade, you're not allowed. What a shame.
I know, but I brought some back, and mine's almost done.
Yeah. Oh, Mark, you're admitting over the air.
No. You're allowed to bring two bottles.
Of Havana Club?
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to be in Havana in the first place.
No, but I was there officially.
Oh, okay. Well done. I'm sorry you've told me you've finished it. Never mind.
Well, this has been wonderful to talk to you, Bernie. And,
okay, yeah.
And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Bernie Dwyer will be tomorrow night with her film, which is really worth seeing and having a conversation about, The Day Diplomacy Died, tomorrow, April 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Baltimore Hostel at 17 West Mulberry Street, right on the corner of, right around the corner from the Enoch Pratt Free Library. She'll show her film and speak about life in Cuba. Bernie, once again, thank you so much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me, Mark. Bye.
Bye-bye. So that's something to do.